In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yesterday we began by looking at the talk, talked about the glory of God, and we attempted to define, or we did a recap, bringing our minds and hearts to what we had said before, and we have emphasized and we continually emphasize the necessity of encounter with God's glory and the revelation of the glory of God. And yesterday we attempted to, and of course we actually did, not just an attempt, to teach on the revelation of the glory of God. And we showed us from scripture how and where the glory of God is revealed, and how to posture and put ourselves in a position to receive the revelation of God's glory. And we talked about that. Today we are going to be looking at the mystery of His presence. We are going to be looking at the mystery of God's presence, the mysteries of His presence. And particularly tonight, we are going to be looking at the cherubim. The what?
The cherubim.
Yes, the cherubim. Like I said yesterday, some of us here have helped me teach us for years now. But I don't think you have heard us teach on the cherubim before. Emmy, Emmanuel.
Yes, sir.
Have I ever taught you about the cherubim?
No, sir.
Yeah, no. I mean, I have not. The closest I ever came to share a single thing was in August 2018. If I'm thinking correctly, that day should be fought. It was a Saturday. We had that meeting in the office. Do you remember?
Yes, sir.
Yes. And we talked about the cherubim of glory. That's, and if I remember correctly, in that meeting, there were so many visions and encounter. And that meeting was an extension, a meeting from Thursday, where we talked about the cherubim, and then we gave a prophecy. We gave a prophecy that there was somebody there who was going to have an encounter, seeing the faces of these beings, as we had begun to talk about them. And one lady, if I remember, if her name is Faith, Apostle Peter, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
She did see those visions, and she was not in her mind. She was just all over under the power of God, shaking, or if I'm just moving, couldn't control. So we couldn't even ask her what she saw, because when we asked her, she couldn't speak. She was just, until much later, we met her in the hostel, sometime later, and we asked her what happened. But I'm teaching you tonight on the mysteries of His presence, particularly the cherubim. There are a lot of mysteries, but this mystery is a significant one. The cherubim. Remember, we are trying to, from yesterday we talked about the revelation of God's glory, and we're teaching us how to position for this revelation. The purpose of this teaching is not so that you can have information. It's because this is linked to the objective of this meeting: how to position to receive revelation Do we understand? Do we understand?
Yes, sir.
Like I always say, the objective of knowledge from God is for edification, for instruction, for impartation, for correction, for direction, for growth, and for the purpose of God's assignment and work. Anything outside of the spirit of this is an aberration. So, the mysteries of His presence, the cherubim. Let's give God praise. Father, we thank you. Yesterday we began, we looked into the presence. Now, as we begin tonight, we are going to begin our journey from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 2. The cherubim. 2 Samuel 6, verse 2. Or I'll read that for us now. Verse 2. All right, and okay, let's start from verse 1. And David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal, Judah. From Baal, Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name, the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. My God. This itself is a revelation of God. The one who dwells between the cherubim. Go ahead and pray. Masike toro babara babara bahidarabash. Lebroto sundaraba hintelebru hukos in kalaba. Letekesi talaba hintalaba hun telebe hintalaba. Leheleke hintalaba hun telebe hintalaba. Whose name is called by the name, the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. Kakiko bahadish. Lekisa tina rata kazi sise koro. Le prantala baramana senteleburata iketerumo shandi li baraka singe de bereke nefike koroto sinkate merede yatitirianda shu terebe rana mahinta labo sente kele barata ne koroto sindara mahinta laba hinkelebe hinkalaba hinkolobo hintalama hindelida bombo retina hiande kinene. The scripture said the name of the Lord is called by the name, the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. Ay, helerete sandarabaka se koramila dede abratana nane kende amala sin talabaya dia. Thank you. The Lord of hosts who dwells between the cherubim, the mysteries of his presence, the cherubim. In the presence of God, hi, there are realities that exist in the presence of God. The presence of God is not just an environment around you that you pick and say God's presence is here. The presence of God is a reality that proceeds out of its place. The presence of God is an environment that is real and tangible and has realities and elements and beings that exist within it. The presence of God is a reality, an environment, a reality that surrounds him. So there is the person of God, which is his essence, himself. There is the presence of that person, which is the circumstance that is because he is. There is the presence of God, which is the circumstances that are because he is. And these are revealed. They are revelations. They are revelations inside this presence. The glory is revealed. And inside this presence again, there are other realities that are revealed. One of these realities also, as we have seen in this portion of the Bible, and as we are going to even see further on, is the reality of the ministers and the entities that surrounds the reality of his presence. So much so that if an individual claims to know God's presence and to be experiencing God's presence, it wouldn't be long before he begins to encounter the reality that exists in the very presence with all its content. Like where I am now, the room where I currently occupy or exist in. There are things here. There are books here. There's a desk here. There are elements that consist of this environment. If somebody says he is in my presence, he will see the desk. He will see the books. He will see the things that exist where I am. He will see the frames on the wall. He will see the equipments that are here. If somebody claims to be in my presence, then what exists around me, he will have to experience and see it too, and there will be a reality, and you have to acknowledge them. For instance, if you claim to be in my presence where I am right now, when you are walking in the room, you have to give cognizance to the desk that is in the room, because you can't walk through it. Whenever you walk close to it, you divert a little, you deflect a little. Why? You are giving cognizance to the fact that there is such an element in this place. You are acknowledging the presence of an entity here. If you claim to be in God's presence, there are realities that you, that of surety, surely you must be cognizant of. Because the same way my presence now consists of other entities apart from me personally here, there are also entities all around and in the glory of God. Do we understand? Gabriel said to Zachariah, Zachariah was a priest in God's spell, said to him, I stand in the presence of God. Now that's something we should consider. Both of them were ministers in the presence. Zachariah was a minister in God's presence. As a matter of fact, he was offering incense. And then all of a sudden he looked, he saw another minister. It's not God he saw, somebody that exists in the presence. And he looked. And this person began to talk to him. And he gave him a message, he doubted it. Hi! And he said, I am Gabriel, I stand in God's presence. It means that if you are a priest in the presence of God, how come you don't acknowledge me? No. How come you don't acknowledge my person? So he had to invoke his office to say, I stand in the presence of God. I give you a word and you doubt it. Take this one. For not acknowledging my rank by virtue of my priesthood. That is what happens when you do not acknowledge that there are realities in the presence of God. But he didn't see that. Some of you don't know anything about that. That inside of the presence of God, there are realities that it consists of. And if you say, I live in God's presence, you must claim, you must be cognizant of the realities that exist. Like I just said to you, where I am now, there are elements that surround me. There is a desk in front of me. You can't, if you run at it, you will run into it and injure yourself. So when you are running, whatever makes you run in this place, when you come around here, you have to deflect a little, hence you crash into it. What are you doing by deflecting? You are acknowledging that there is an entity that occupies a portion of this environment. That is what Zachariah failed to do. He said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. He was also there standing in the presence. But for some reasons, he couldn't acknowledge or come to cognizance of the fact that there is. My God. Today, a gate of understanding is flung open for you to begin to explore really what the presence of God is. And when it is said, God's presence dwells with a man. And when they say a man lives before God, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence. If you are in the presence, then you have to acknowledge that, you know, so for some persons, the presence is just a mist around. Is it presence or mist that is around you? But if it's the presence of God that you are talking about, then you will know that there are realities that it consists of, that it consists of, that comprises. There are circumstances that are because he is. There are circumstances that are because he is. I am Gabriel. I stand in God's presence. Today, your understanding is lifted from the apprehension of presence as a mist to presence as a civilization. Your understanding as from presence as just a feeling to presence as an assembly, a civilization, an existence that comprises of other structures and realities that go on. How is it clear if God lives with a man? Is it not that he becomes aware of the mysteries that occur in the presence of God? How do we know that God dwells with a man? Is it not in this that he is able to see and come to revelation of the realities that exist around him? How do we know that a man lives with God? Is it not because if a man lives with God, the realities of God around him cannot be interacted with on the platform of blindness? How do you know, and how do we know that a man lives before God? Is it not that he is aware that right before him, the Holy One is standing? How do we know that a man lives in God? Is it not that he knows the choir of rankings that exist?
Hallelujah.
In the reality of God's presence exists an order of creation. The Hebrew prophets that brought this revelation to us, that where God's presence is and where his glory is, there are realities that exist. The New Testament has already taught us that there are other realities that exist inside of God's presence. And we saw that in the life of Zechariah, that Gabriel said to him, "I am Gabriel." Mind you, he has a name. So this is an individual with an intellect. It's a rational being with understanding and consciousness. He's a living being. He's not a man, but nevertheless, he's living and alive. I want to tell you that Gabriel still exists till date. You may not have met with him in your journeys in the presence, but Gabriel is a reality till date. He gave Zechariah his name. He said, "I am Gabriel." Some of you don't understand that these realities are real. But really, there's such a being with an intellect, a super intellect and understanding and consciousness, a sentient being that has a name, and he can tell you his name. The New Testament has taught us that in that reality, there's another of humans or realities that exist, and there are beings, living beings that occupy there. They are heavenly citizens that live there and do assignment there. You know, some of us sing on the altar in church on Sunday to God. There are people that sing directly to God before him every day. They are your people in the same line and order of ministry, but of different creation order of creation. So the New Testament teaches us that they are beings. But not only after that order, the ones that are humanoids. A humanoid is simply a creation that has the form of a man. And that is why sometimes when angels come in as humanoids, they think they are men. Because some of you think that every angel has wings. But that is not correct. It's your movies that have instructed you, not revelation of scriptures. Because if angels had wings, when certain people met them, they wouldn't think they are men. When the angel appeared to Samson's mother, she called the angel a man of God. Because she sensed that this person is holy and he brought a message from God. So there are those angels that just look like you. They have the same, they are humanoids. That's just the word, English word to use. And so there are beings like that in the presence of God that walk. And you see them as men. Do you see that? And other angels that appear through scripture, the only people are only terrified by their presence because of the illumination and the glory. Like when somebody's face starts shining like this, like light before you, you'll be terrified. Say, what kind of human being is this? But these are not human beings per se. These are living beings that have the form of man. Mind you, the Hebrew author says, be diligent to entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels and they did not know, because the angels came. Alright. Now, the Hebrew prophets who first saw this revelation of the glory of God and left us with the documentation, began to reveal certain order of beings that exist inside of the glory of God. And the Hebrew word they used to call them was cherub. The cherub. Now, in the Hebrew word, in the Hebrew language, the suffix im is used in the plural sense. We have those kinds of words in the English language. We have IES to refer to show that this is plural. We have S for some. We have IES for others. Praise the Lord. So, but in the Hebrew vocabulary, the suffix IM is added. Like the Hebrew word for God is El, as we all know. But when you call it Elohim or Elohim, the im added at the ending becomes God, plural. And this also is one of the indications of the Trinity of the person of God, because they refer to God in the plural sense using the word Elohim, gods. Like, this is an expression of a tripartite personality. So the Hebrew prophets identified that there were certain order of beings, angelic beings, because the word angel is messenger. Or let's just use the word beings that exist inside the glory of God. And from their revelation, they identified them as cherub. And in a plural sense, cherubim. Cherubim. In the English word, it has evolved to become cherub. Cherubim. Hallelujah. So we'll be using more anyone interchangeably, so you don't get confused. These cherubims exist inside the revelation of glory. They exist inside of glory. They have a ministry in the glory. When you are in the place of God's glory, you must encounter the cherubim. When you are in the place of the revelation of God's glory, you must encounter the cherubim. Because the cherubim live inside the glory. They exist inside the glory. That is their place. When God made the stars, He put them in the heavens. When He made the fishes, He dropped them into the sea. When He made the cherubim, He planted them in His glory. Hebrews chapter 9 reveals this clearer in details to us. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 3, the author of the Hebrews began to enumerate some mysteries in the tabernacle. Right, let's start from verse 3 or verse 4. Verse 3. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pots that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory. Above it was what? Above it was what, sir? The cherubim of glory. I know many of us have heard of Augustine of Hippo. Saint John of this. Because in the olden days, they used people's origin to differentiate them. Sozo person of Rome. The cherubim of glory. That is their origin. That is their birthplace. That is their root. When God created the stars, He said He set the lights in the heavens. The sun, He suspended them in the heavens. When God made the cherubim, He put them in the glory. In His glory. The cherubim of glory. So, if a man lives and experiences the glory of God, for sure, he will encounter the cherubim. Like Zechariah was faulted by the angel for being a minister of God's presence and for not being aware that there are other realities inside of the presence apart from him. For seeing that he's the only one burning incense and there's nothing there, he was faulted. Because if he was a priest of that order and of that ranking, then you should have known that. And that if an angel delivers a message from you, it's as though God spoke to you. Because they were messengers of God. They spoke with the authority of God when they deliver. In short, it's so serious that sometimes the Bible will not tell you that it's an angel speaking. They will say, and the Lord God answered and said. Like in the case of Moses, it was an angel Moses encountered, the angel of the burning bush. But the angel was, and the scripture will say, and the Lord said to him, God was speaking through the angel as a mouthpiece. Do we understand?
Yes,
sir. So, inside the glory of God, there are the cherubim. If a man lives in God's glory, he will encounter them. Clearly, if a man lives in the glory of God, he will encounter the cherubim. If a man lives in the presence, he will see realities also. Inside the glory of God, you will encounter the cherubim. Now, let's take a little look into the scriptures again to show you some things that inside the glory of God, you will encounter the children. God said to Moses to build a tabernacle. And we saw that yesterday because he wanted to dwell with them. When God gave him the design of the tabernacle, God gave him everything to detail. But the design was not just about himself. The design was about mirroring the right structure and mysteries that give testimony and witnesses, and witness that mirrors and gives the right testimony and witness to realities that exist around him. And look at what he will have Moses do. In Exodus 26, verse 31, you shall make a veil of woven blue. The veil is what separated the holy place from the holiest place, or what we call the holiest, the holies of holies. The veil is that covering that separated one portion of the sanctuary from the other, where God dwelt. That's where they kept the ark, in the structure of the tabernacle. Look at what God asked Moses to say. He said, you shall make a veil of woven of blue, purple and scarlet thread, and fine linen. It shall be woven with an artistic design of cherubim. People think is the cherubim are only on the Ark of the Covenant. The veil that covers the Ark of the Covenant, there are cherubim woven into it. The way you weave something, they did an artistic embroidering of cherubim, such that when you look at the blue veil, you can't avoid looking at it. When you come into the tabernacle, you can't claim you don't know the cherubim are represented. Most people think that it is only in the Ark of the Testimony the cherubims exist. And that's because they were fabricated, or they were formed out of gold. They were made, their likeness was made on the Ark. Over and above the mercy seat, covering the mercy seat. It's not just there. In the presence, on the blue veil, they have weaved on the veil cherubims all over it. Cherubims on it. So that even when you are not in the holiest place, in the veil that separates it, you will be seeing cherubims. The point is, you can't miss the fact that this beings exist in the glory. It is God that told Moses, ensure that you weave their design on the blue veil. In verse 36 again, he said it again. He said, you shall make a screen for the door. Chapter 36, verse 8. Look at this. He said, then all the gifted artisans among them who worked on the tabernacle made 10 curtains woven of fine linen and of blue, purple, and scarlet thread with artistic designs of cherubim. They made them. The veil itself had the embroidering of cherubim on it. We are going further. Malabragadigas. Look at what verse 35 of the same scripture said. He said, he made a veil of blue, purple and scarlet thread, fine woven linen. It was worked with an artistic design of cherubim. When you enter the tabernacle, even without entering the holiest place, you can't deny. You will have to be aware of the cherubim. For as long as your eye is open inside the tabernacle, you will see the cherubim. The cherubim exists inside the glory. They are ministers inside the glory. When God made them, He made them to be of the glory. The cherubim of glory. If a man is inside the glory of God and the place of the glory, he can't miss these beings because that is where they live. Now, that it didn't end there. When David was going to go, he gave Solomon the pattern of the temple to build. He said, all this pattern I have and received by the Spirit of God. He gave him the architectural pattern and design. Solomon only built a template or a pattern and a blueprint that David had supplied. But look at the temple Moses Solomon built. In 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 29 to 35. Look at this. My God. He said, then he carved all the walls of the temple all around, both the inner and outer sanctuaries, with carved image figures of cherubim. Kai! In the temple of Solomon, all the walls were carved with cherubim. That's what he's saying. All the walls of the temple all around, both the inner sanctuary, that is the holiest place where only the high priest enters, and the outer sanctuary, that is the holy place and where people can come into, he said, with carved figures of cherubim, palm tree. That means you can't miss seeing the cherubim. For whatever brings you into the temple, they put it before your eye. They put it just in front of you. All over Solomon's temple, on the walls, cherubim on the walls. So when you enter, you say, what are these? They say it's the cherubim. You know, when they put something in front of you, so it's so that you can ask a question. When you just walk in the temple, you see cherubim, all over. You see just these beings on the wall, all over carved. You say, Dad, what is this thing? See, that's the cherubim of glory. These beings, and this is attention to detail, because God told him, say, ensure you build it according to what I show you. And inside of the design, God made these beings must be revealed in your tabernacle, in the design of your structure, of your temple. So you see it in the temple of Moses, in the tabernacle of Moses. You are seeing it all over the temple of Moses, of Solomon. Cherubim carved on the walls. The other one, they had to weave it on fabric. This one, since it was a wall and overlaid with gold, they carved it all around the wall. When you come into the temple, you must see the cherubim. Every temple that was reviewed, I wanted to show us one more. The next temple that was built, and how that same on the temple. This one was a temple in the spirit realm, not yet built. God gave the prophet the vision of the temple. He showed him that on the wall of the temple, he saw there were still cherubim on it. These beings exist inside the glory of God. The cherubims live in the glory. If a man lives inside of God's glory, he can't claim ignorance of them. They will, one way or the other, have an interaction. Even if he's not aware cognitively, but experientially, he's having an encounter. That is why the reality of the glory of God imparts you with caution and reverence for God's presence. Because the other man that was faulted was made to go dumb for a period of at least 9 months. So next time he comes to burn his lot, he will be aware that even though I can only see myself offering incense, there are other judges that exist inside this presence, and I have to be careful. If an angel can shut me up for at least 9 months, only God knows what God will be able to do. And of course, these beings are zealous for the glory of God and for the praise of His name and His majesty. If a man lives inside of the glory of God, this reality is put up in front of him. It's put up in front of him. He can't avoid it. Because before he ever entered into this, these beings have been in the glory from eternity. Aye, Korantas. Why am I umahile boratas? Je in kalabrahata sekelo botukodia. Yelerene mesundaraba. El brahiso trimanada pratise cloro de misia candia. El barita sikere ne mesindia da kai. El eferustan prahakazie. Menderetes undra la bahai ketoruma. Ne protus ingele, 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 angele, hikele, ingele ke sikelenda. Te, ne ke tea. Sike edea ne helatia. Ine hea dia teke edea te mesia dia. Why we have said these revelations, we don't bring revelation for the sake of information. There is a purpose in the heart of God why he will have us reveal this mystery. Like I said, people who had started following us by God's grace and hearing us teach them and teach God's word and speak from the revelation of God hardly ever has heard us say anything in this direction. But why now would the Spirit of God breathe in upon us and say, this word, let it go now? You know why? I ask again, why now is the Spirit of God breathing upon us and breathed on us to pass this word out and to let this word go now? Why? You know why? Because, and here is the reason, we have been saying things about the glory of God, the glory of God, the glory of God, and the necessity and its relevance in the assignment and the agenda and the purpose of God for this generation. And if you hear us speak and you give heed to the things we say, you can't avoid hearing the mystery of glory and the dimensions that are necessary for the accomplishment of divine arrangement for this time and age and day. This is a further extension and illumination of the necessity of the glory. And this is because from now, people will begin to encounter these angelic beings. People will begin to have encounters with these realities. So God is bringing the word, because the Bible says that the Lord will do nothing unless he reveals to his servants. Unless he reveals to his servants, those who serve him and are ministers before him. The same way Gabriel said to Zechariah, I bring you inside knowledge and information from God that your wife is about to have a child. The same way Gabriel says he stands in God's presence, we by the privilege of grace have always sought to remain perpetually alive before God. In his presence, which we live, move, have our being, and consciously, continually seek by his grace to be alive in, we bring you a word that the seasons have come for men to encounter cherubim. It's not like this is going to be the first time it has happened. But it's a season that has been declared now again. It's going to happen. It's a season. It's a season. Men, we have encounter with these beings in the glory. It's a season. Men will begin to have encounter with this cherubim. Whoa, my God. Father, we give you praise. What is the purpose of the encounter? Is it for the sake of fraternization? No. It achieves a purpose. Go ahead, just pray in the spirit. Go ahead, let's give God praise. Think we'll wanted to continue, but maybe it's one word so much. We're thinking if to proceed further from here. But oh, that we can say this, my protocols. Let me say this. It is to unveil the mysteries of glory to you. The purpose is for the unveiling of the mysteries of glory. Let's read Ezekiel chapter. Ezekiel chapter 1. For your sake, O God, we will do anything. Ezekiel chapter 1. He said, let's start from verse 4. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst, like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. And also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Notice their form was like the form of a man. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. That means they had hooves. They sparkled like the color of burnished and burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings, like five fingers and all that. And on their four sides, each of the four had faces and wings. Say their wings touched one another, and the creature did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. And for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion. So this particular order of cherubim, because we won't talk about the generation of cherubims and how their evolution or what. This particular cherubim that Ezekiel saw, each one had four faces. Imagine a being with four faces, and the face of a man, a face of a lion, a face of an eagle, and the face of an ox. So look at what he said. They have wheels now. In verse 28, he said, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. So this cherubim that Ezekiel saw, he saw them inside the glory. Like we had just said, or like we are saying, that inside the glory, they are there. That's where they are. He seen the glory of God. He saw the cherubim. Now, look at what he says in verse 2. We have said that this season, men will begin to encounter cherubim in the glory. People in the glory, people, that's why we are emphasizing that get into the glory and its reality. Because people that are in the glory will begin to have encounter with cherubim. That's why this word is coming. Now look at what he said. God began to speak to him and he says, this is the call to his ministry. He said, then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me saying, son of man, I am sending you. It's a sending. This call is for assignment. There are many of you God is about to see. God is sending you. Just like this man, they had brought his call to him. His call is a glory call. It's a generation inside the glory. It's a call from the glory of God for an assignment. He said, I'm sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. He said, for their impudent and stubborn children, I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. Now, this thus says the Lord God, he didn't complete it. Do you notice? He said, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God is used as the prefix of a body of message from God. The same way you say, I was sent from Angus. Angus said, I should tell you. Then the message continues. Thus says the Lord God. He stopped. He didn't say anything again. Rather, he now went further to comment on the overall ministry. He said, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for their rebellious says, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. You, son of man, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you should dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed for their looks. For their rebellious house, you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, they are rebellious. But son of man, hear what I say. Do not be rebellious like them. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. That thus says the Lord God, his assignment is what he's about to give him. He said, and now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of book was inside. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside, on the outside, and written on it were the lamentations. And you know what that is? That was the revelation of his assignment. That was the mysteries of his assignment. That hand was the hand of the cherubim. It's not the hand of the one speaking on the throne. That hand of the one speaking on the throne was fire. From waist upwards was fire. From waist downwards was like amber, brightness, light. To see that further, if you go to chapter 10, in chapter 10, in chapter 10, verse 1, you see where he said, okay, let's say from verse 2. Say, then he spoke to the man clothed with linen and said, go among the wheels under the cherubim. Fill your hands with coals of fire from among the cherubim and scatter them over the city. And he went in as I watched. Now the cherubim were standing on the south side of the temple when the man went in. All right, look at what he said. From verse 6, he said, then it happened when he commanded the man clothed in linen, take fire from among the wheels from among the cherubim, that he went in and stood behind the wheels. Then the cherubim stretched out his hand from among the cherub. That is one. Stretched out his hand from among the cherubim to the fire that was among the cherubim, and took some of it and put it in the hands of the man clothed. Look at verse 8. He said the cherubim appeared to have the form of a man's hand under their wings. Is that hand the form of the hand that gave Ezekiel the scroll? Kaiti kayata prandala pasukata la prakatia. This mahali korash ikalabraha ndalabraha gadia kase predegedia rake korati sekira dia kiredia lerete kesu paradakata. God is downloading wisdom in me. Rake su paradia li prekesia lete kesu talabra indaraba hande kelobo. Father, we give you praise. Matilia lesisi si so toro dambarada takita bra tande de begeti kalabakatika. It was that hand of the cherubim that delivered to Ezekiel his assignment, his calling, his details, his destiny, his purpose, the mysteries. You know what that means? When the glory arrived, the cherubim had that mystery already. There are mysteries in God that people will be called to live. They are inside the glory. The cherubims are the administrators of the glory. They administer the operation and the coordination. Here is the prophet. God said to him, "Thus says the Lord." The balance of it was what was written inside the revelation of the scroll the cherubim gave to him. The cherubim gave him the scroll. There are many of you, when you encounter them, they will give you something. That is the purpose of what we are saying. This is a prophetic arrangement. This is a revelation for you to know so you can walk with it. Him, they gave him a scroll. Some of you, they will give you impartations from the glory. They will give you revelations in the glory, give you understanding and grace inside the glory. They are administrators of the glory. Wisdom. Wisdom. Mahises, setekitos, lahites, nekefeketikes, we mahise, hetefetesika, lehise, sesekesita, sef itesifes, nefisetifes, tefisefisetifesia, setefisetesitefesitefisetise, setisefesetisetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetesetes Kalabata Kalabakatash. Go ahead, let's give God praise. Mashallah, take it.